All right. Well, good evening, everyone. We're coming to you live from New Holland, Pennsylvania. And we're sitting here in Pastor Luke's office at New Covenant Mennonite Church. We've been here the last couple of days having services and talking about the spiritual gifts. And so tonight got canceled because of snow. It's a beautiful evening out there. There's probably 2 to 3 inches of snow. And it's really, it's really nice, but people aren't being able to drive in it. And so we decided we're going to just kind of pack in here in Pastor Luke's office, and we got a couple people in here with some coffee and hot chocolate, and we're going to read the scripture and go over the thoughts, and you feel free to join us. I see there's a number of you that have joined us already, and so welcome. Thanks for joining us. And so we're going to do a little bit of recapping of where we've come from and where we would like to go. And so feel free to comment if you have any questions or comments as we go along. You can feel free to do that. All right. So if you have your Bibles with you there close by, we're going to be reading in Exodus. And so if you would like to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 2, that's where we're going to be starting. And so as you're turning there, I would like to just pray for God to bless our time together. Can we do that? Lord, thank you for this time, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Lord, and thank you for things like, Lord, Facebook and all this technology, God, that we're able to visit with people and Lord, that we don't have to be together, but Lord, that people can hear the word anyway. And Father, would you bless our time? And Lord, would your spirit be here and just draw our hearts to you and minister your word to our hearts? Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the spiritual gifts is one of the Brian there. Hello to you as well. One of the things that the spiritual gifts journey has done for me, as I've been on it for about 10 to 12 years, is it caused me to look into my own heart, because as I became a Christian, one of the things I had was a lot of questions about what it means to to be a Christian and where do I find purpose. And so the first night I'm gonna do just a little bit of recapping for all of you that weren't here. And these are actually sessions that we do in lots of different churches. Whenever we get an opportunity, we normally do it. But the first night we set up the whole thing of who the Holy Spirit is. And when the Holy Spirit prompts someone to do something, it will always move them toward holiness because he is a Holy Spirit. And so that is the short version, okay? And then the second night, we talked about how God uses ordinary people to do big works. I mean, we looked at people of our day. We looked at three examples, in the Bible, where they were just ordinary people, but God used them to do great work when they were willing to give themselves to him. And so tonight, we want to wrap it up with a question. Simply asking this question: what is in your hand? What is in your hand? Now, if you're sitting at home, you may be on the couch and you have your feet kicked up with a cup of coffee, and that's perfectly fine. But we're asking the question: what is your hand? Meaning, what do you do? What has God gifted you with? What are you good at? Do you own a business? Are you a truck driver? Are you a plumber? Do you build houses? Do you pour concrete? Are you an office manager? What is it that you do? What is in your hand? What kind of burden has God placed there? And so that is the main thing we're going to be looking at here tonight. And somebody once said, and I came across this statement a number of years ago, and I don't know who said it first, but it says this: life is what happens while we're waiting for life to happen. And I'm also interacting here with the people in the office, but life is what happens while we're waiting for life to happen. And I'll give you an example of that. I was in my office one morning and I got a phone call from a lady that's a dear friend of ours. And she said, "You know, Amos," she said, "I just want to be used by God." And she was going on and on how she feels like she never really does anything for God. And she's just sharing this burden with me. And I said, "Well, what is it that you do?" And she said, "Well, my day is very boring. All I do is I get up in the morning and I make my husband breakfast, And he goes out the door, and I make my children breakfast, and they get up, and I send them off to school, and then I take care of my babies, and I do the laundry, and about that time, you know, my baby's ready for a nap, and then they need the diaper changed, and then I got to go check on the laundry, and then I got to clean up a mess and mop the floor. And as she was going on, in my mind, I was thinking, and when do you want to do something for God? You're a mother. And everything you're doing right now is affecting the kingdom of God. You are loving your husband. You are providing for your children. You are serving them. And that is a great work. That is a great work. So what is in your hand? And so if you have turned in your Bible, we're going to, for those of you joining, I see we keep gaining, but right now we're at 93 people that have joined us. And a number of you are telling us hi. And yeah, Brian, you have a cleaning service there. So that's great. That's great. Do it as a service unto the Lord and to the people. So now we're up to 98. Hey, maybe we're going to hit 100 here. 99. All we need is one more. All right. So Book of Exodus, and we're going to read a little bit about Moses and his story. And I'm going to share a little bit of my own story, as we go along. But Moses, you all know the story. He was born, and due to the oppression that was going on, his mother put him in this basket, and he's out there, and you know, somebody finds him. And anyway, the story goes on. We're going to pick up in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, and I'm going to start reading right there. Excuse me. One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people, and notice it says his people, and he looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people, and he looked this way and that way, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, I'm a father of five, and I tell my children that if they're getting ready to do something and they catch themselves looking this way and then that way prior to doing it, that's probably a good sign that they should not be doing it. And so Moses was caught between a rock and a hard place, so to speak. He saw his people and he had a burden for his people, but yet he didn't know how to act on it. And when he acted on it, it was in the wrong way. And he actually killed somebody. But his heart was to try to deliver his people. And keep that word deliver in mind as we go on down through here. So he looked this way and that way. He struck the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And then when he had gone out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" And the man answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses was afraid, and he thought, "Surely this thing is known." And when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, I think it's safe to say that Moses was very, very discouraged because he saw a real need. But he had not prepared. His heart wasn't prepared to act on the burden in a godly way. He was very young and he had a very real burden, and the problem was real. But God had not yet prepared him to act on it. Verse 16. So he's sitting down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and when they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock, the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. When they came home to their father, he said, "How is it that you have come home so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us." There's that word again. "And an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and even drew water for us and watered the flock." I would like to suggest that God had gifted Moses to be a deliverer. God had gifted Moses to be a pastor because he had a burden for his people, and he had the ability to passionately feel that, and he wanted to deliver them out of their troubles. That is a pastoral heart, and Moses had this heart. So let's read. So let's keep reading. So the father said to his daughters, "Well, then, where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses his daughter, and she gave birth to a son. And it goes on there, and we're going to pick up there in verse 23. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned. Now, even though Moses was out in the wilderness, God's people were still back there suffering under the hand of Pharaoh. But it was not going unheard. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. What did God know? Where do you think that God's mind went? He sees his own people, and they are in a mess. They are being mistreated, and he needs them to be, to be delivered. And for whatever reason, God chooses to use people. He chooses to use ordinary people like us. God could have come down, and he could have personally rescued those people. Matter of fact, without the grace of God, Pharaoh could have not taken another breath. And so God could have just simply said, Pharaoh, just die, and people walk away, and it would have happened. But God chooses to use people with skin on. God chooses to use people with skin on to do what he wants them to do. And he wants to bless them, fill them with his spirit, that they would walk in that obedience. And so where did God's mind go? Well, back in Egypt, I'm guessing that a lot of people had totally forgotten about Moses, but not God. God knew exactly where he was at. God said, I need my man. And where do I find my man? God knew exactly where to find him. Moses was tending his flock for his father-in-law, and he was sitting on the west side of the wilderness. God knew exactly where he was at. He was on the west side of the wilderness. And so along comes God, and he sends his angel, verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So God and Moses shared the same burden, and so then the conversation starts. God begins to give the invitation to Moses to be the one that would go and deliver his people that were groaning and that were being mistreated. So verse 10, we're going to jump in there in the middle of their conversation. Verse 10 of Exodus 3. Come, said the Lord, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, he began to argue. He said to God, but who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, I'd like to stop right there and put something in here. Oftentimes, whenever we're younger, God puts a vision on our hearts. And when we act on it wrongly, people actually respond wrongly, and it makes us very afraid to ever try it again. So whenever God said, Moses, I want you to go back and deliver the people, where do you think Moses' mind went? I'm guessing his mind went right back to the day when he felt the burden to deliver his people, and he tried it, and it all went wrong. And he ended up killing a guy and burying him in the sand, and now he's been in the wilderness for 40 years. And Moses said, no, I'm not doing that. I tried that one time, and that went all wrong. I'm not going to do it again. And I would like to suggest that a lot of us can identify with that. I know I can. I had a lot of things early in my Christian life that I had a tremendous, tremendous burden for. And yet when I tried to step out and work in that realm, it just didn't go the way I wanted it to, and it went wrong. And I realized that I needed to pull away and spend some time in the wilderness and just spend some time with God for God to get a hold of my heart and soften my heart and place his love and his passion and his burden within me, that when I go to do what he's called me to do, that it's filled with humility and just a willingness to say, Lord, I am your servant. And so I really get Moses right there. I did not spend 40 years in any wilderness, but I can identify with the pain of what he's talking about there. So let me see, where were we here? Verse 12. And God tries to, God tries to assure him. He says, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they will ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. I am has sent you, he said. God also said to Moses, say to this people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And the conversation goes on and they go back and forth. I'm not going to read all of it live here, but you're welcome to go back and keep reading it there. But I'm going to pick up in chapter 4 as we kind of follow the movement of what's going on. In chapter 4, this happens. Then Moses answers, but behold, they will not believe me, nor will they listen to my voice. So the argument just keeps going on and on. And they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. And verse 2, the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. And God said, throw it on the ground. And so Moses threw it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses ran from it. Now, that really, really fascinates me because for me, I have I'm going to talk about natural gifts and the supernatural gifts in just a little bit. But for years, I have held a guitar in my hands. A lot of, that's just what I've done for many, many years is just sing and play. And whenever I come to the Lord, I feel like God says, Amos, what do you have in your hand? And I say, a guitar. He says, use it. And one of the things that happens is because when I first started playing guitar, it wasn't for the Lord. I played at parties and played at things like that. But something happens whenever God starts to touch what's in our hands. And God told Moses to throw it on the ground, and God changed it into something that Moses was afraid of, and Moses ran from it. Often when we see what God might do with what we have in our hand, it scares us. And we want to turn around and run because we're not sure what's going to happen. We are no longer like, we're like, oh no, that looks like trouble to me. And we just run from it. But God shows him very quickly that this is nothing to be afraid of. He says, now bend down and pick it up by the tail. So he put his hand on it and he caught it by the tail, and the serpent turned again into a staff, that they might believe that the Lord God of their fathers, of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. And again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he pulled it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And then God said, put your hand back inside your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you, said God, or listen to the first sign, that they may believe the latter sign, but if they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. But Moses said to the Lord, he began to argue. I mentioned earlier, I'm a father of five. And so sometimes I tell my children to go out and do things. But Dad, and they come up with a reason. I say, but I will take care of that. You just go do what I'm telling you to. But Dad, and over the but dads keep coming back, right? I mean, all of us as parents know what this is like. And after a while, you know what? Dad gets a little upset. Because I'm just like, okay, I have laid this plan out for you five times, and you are still resisting what I'm wanting you to do. You're either going to trust me and obey me, or you're not. So which one are you going to do? Make up your mind. What are you going to do? And so Moses did what most of us don't want to do, and he angered God. So verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your service, or I'm sorry, to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? And who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and will teach you what you shall speak." But Moses said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Verse 14 of Exodus chapter 4. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite?" Now, I would like to suggest to you that when we continually push back on what God is trying to do, we miss a blessing. And I'll share a testimony here due to that. When I was just a kid, I don't know, I must have been four or five years old. As early as I can remember, I stutter. And I got made fun of in school. I got made fun of a lot. And people would get very angry with me sometimes because I could not say what I wanted to say. And I shared this story. Some of you that are listening on Facebook Live are able to hear this. And you have heard it probably a couple different times before because I share it often. And that is, I remember when I was about 10 years old or 8 years old. I don't know. But I was just a kiddo. But there was an emergency that happened within the neighborhood. And I was the one that was chosen to carry the message across two or three fields, farming fields, to a farmer that was in the back. And I took off running as hard as I could. I was running and I climbed across the fence and I was so much in a hurry. I was breathing hard. It was summertime and I was hot. And I would climb up the fence and literally fall off the other side and get up and keep right on running. I remember running across a waterway and it was full of stones and I was barefoot. I grew up on the farm, we were always barefoot. And so I was barefoot and I went ripping right across those stones and back to the field. And I got back there and the farmer sees me coming. So he stops his equipment and he gets off and he starts walking my way. And would you know what happened when I got there? I couldn't talk. I got there and there I was and I stood there and I couldn't talk. And my mind was racing and my heart was racing, but no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't talk. And the man that I was supposed to be talking to, I don't hold this against him because he was also caught up in the moment. But he grabbed me by the arms and he picked me up and he yelled right into my face, stop stuttering and just talk, he said. And my little heart just melted and it killed me on the inside. Because of all the pressure and the tension. And so fast forward 15 years, 10, 12, 15 years when I became a Christian in August of 2002, and I felt immediately God started calling me to preach. And you know what I said? There's no way. You know why? Because I stutter. There is no way I'm going to get up in front of 500 people or 1,000 people and start trying to talk when all I'm going to do is stutter and the people are going to laugh at me and they're going to get angry at me because I can't talk. And I stumbled across this scripture. Well, I don't believe I stumbled. I believe God directed me there. But I came to the scripture and I read this and I was so convicted in my heart. And I said, I don't want to make the same mistake that Moses made because I believe that God wanted to bless Moses with something that he didn't naturally have. Moses naturally was not able to speak well. I don't know if he stuttered. I was looking up some of these words today, in the Greek meaning, and it doesn't really ring a clear bell either way. About the best I could get is that either he didn't know the language well, or that it possible that he also stuttered. I'm not real sure, but something caused him to feel like he just wasn't able to do the talking. But I believe that God wanted to use him, but Moses refused to step out by faith and do that. And so right there is where I'd like to point out two different gifts. There are the gifts that are supernatural gifts. And oh my goodness, we got somebody with us from Brazil. Wow, welcome. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know how to pronounce that name, but God bless you. And thank you for joining us. And so, like, for me, I come from a singing family. And I grew up singing. I sat on my daddy's lap and I sang there. I started playing guitar when I was about 17, 18 years old. And so singing for me is in my genes. It is a natural gift. However, speaking for me and preaching and teaching is a supernatural gift. It is a gift that on my own, hey, you know what? I was the guy that when I went to church and when I went to services, I was the guy standing all the way in the back that was mimicking the preachers, waving my hand and copying everything they were saying. I was the guy making fun of the preachers. That was me. And so when God called me to preach, I said, no, there's no way. There is no way I'm going to do that. But now God has brought in me that supernatural gift of preaching and teaching. And I want to tell, I would tell anybody this. If I am singing or preaching and teaching, my cup is filled. You know, Jesus, in John chapter 6, after he met the woman at the well, he had ministered to her and she had gone into the city and brought out a bunch of people and they come out and they listened to his word. And while this all was happening, his disciples were out doing some other stuff. And when they came back, they said, Jesus, aren't you hungry? You haven't eaten yet. They said, why don't we get some food? And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. And I can identify with that. Preaching, teaching, singing, ministering to people through gospel songs and through principle-based songs gives me energy, gives me purpose, and gives me life. And I really believe that's what Jesus was talking about when he says, my meat, the thing that gives me strength and gives me life, is to do the will of him who sent me. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay, so I really believe that Moses missed out on a huge blessing there. However, God still went ahead and used him, but he used his brother Aaron, to be the mouthpiece there. All right. Okay, so I just want to touch on just a couple more points, and then we're going to get down to just a bit of a wrap up here. Moses continues his conversation with God there. And then in verse 17, God is still speaking to him about how him and Aaron are going to go out together. And in verse 17, he said, and take in your hand this staff of which you will do signs with. In verse 18, Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And there's also a little bit of gold right there. I believe that when God puts a burden, we are talking about spiritual gifts. And when God puts a burden on our hearts, there will be those around us that will confirm that. They will affirm the blessing and the passion that God has given. And they will bless us. They will send us. They will encourage us. Listen to what Moses' father-in-law says. He says, go in peace. Go in peace. Jethro blessed Moses to go minister and to go do what God is calling. Now, don't think that was a small sacrifice, because Jethro was a huge farmer here, right? And so missing Moses and his daughter, which was Moses' wife, and perhaps all their children, their grandbabies, this was a huge sacrifice. And so he said, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. And so Moses took his wife and his sons, and he had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. Now listen closely right here. This is really good. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. All of a sudden, just an ordinary staff that he's carrying to care for his sheep is now the staff of God. What changed? What changed? So now the guitar that I'm carrying is no longer just a regular Martin guitar. It is now an instrument that's been placed in my hands, and now it has the favor of God, where I use it to be a blessing to other people. And now the property of that has changed. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power. And this is really just a little nugget for a lot of meditation. Then God says this, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, God, what is this? I was back in Egypt. I had a burden for my people. I tried to rescue them. I lost my temper. I killed a guy. But I get out of there, and for 40 years, I'm in the wilderness. And I'm out there just living peacefully with my wife and my sons, and you chase me down all the way out here to bring me back and put me through all this uncomfortable stuff and all this argument that we had. And now I'm finally surrendering to you. And now you're saying, oh, by the way, when you get there, Pharaoh's not going to hear you. I'm like, what? You're kidding. I'm working for God, right? So as soon as I say I'm here on the behalf of the Almighty, Pharaoh's going to melt in his tracks and say, you get whatever you want. No, it doesn't work that way. And I believe even as you and I, as we are sharing our gifts, we need to realize that there are people who will harden their hearts against the things of God. It doesn't matter what we do and who we are and what we say. It will happen. And it always does. And so what is in your hand? What do you have in your hand? You know, I think of people throughout the Bible. David, he had a slingshot. And Saul wanted to dress him up in his own armor. And David said, no, it's too heavy. I can't use it. Just give me my stuff, that which was in my hand. And he took a slingshot, took a little trip down to the stream and picked out a few stones that he knew he could use. David wanted to use what was in his hand. Paul was steeped in religion. He had knowledge. He had science. He had knowledge. He had studied. He had gone through all kinds of stuff. And when he gave his life to God, God did not change his whole direction. Who wrote most of the books in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul, because that was his gift, knowledge. And so he had that, you know, he had that kind of understanding. Rahab, she had a scarlet cord, a scarlet scarf in her hand, and she used that. God used that to save people out of a battle. The little boy that brought his lunch in John chapter 4, the little boy that brought his lunch and, you know, Simon Peter recognized him. We talked about that in an earlier session. But all he had was a lunch, and God used it to feed 5,000 people plus. The woman at the well, all she had was a cold cup of water. That's all she had. But God took it and used it. Some of the disciples were fishermen, and Jesus said, drop your nets. And I will show you how to become fishers of men. So what is in your hand? What is in your hand? And so one of the things we also talked about last night here in the service here at New Covenant was so many people say, well, I am not able. I am not capable. I have experienced this brokenness or that brokenness or, you know, all the different things that we can list. And I'm going to turn in my Bible and I'm going to read just a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and because I love how God thinks. We think in order to be a worker for God, we have to have all these lineups, and God says, no, actually, I can't use a lot of those kind of people. I was at a prison one time ministering in a prison. We were talking about some of this stuff, and one of the inmates said, you know, God reaches to the bottom of the barrel, and that is where he finds some of his best work. And so I am just going to read a little bit to that end out of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you who were wise according to worldly standards, and not many were powerful, not many of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human beings might boast in the presence of God. Why does he use people like me that stutter and have all kinds of issues that I deal with and things that I deal with, or people like you, or people like you? I'll tell you right now why. Because he says, whenever I choose somebody that is not powerful, you know, that is not important, that doesn't have a huge, big, you know, a big resume that they think they have to prove, then I can use those people. He says, so God chose them so that, I'm sorry, verse 29, so that no human being might boast in him. And because of him, all are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so it's an absolute beautiful thing, because whenever God does something through someone else that is unqualified in the eyes of the world, then God gets the glory. God gets the glory. So while you're listing all the things why you think that you can't work for God, he's saying, I'm sorry, but those are all the things that qualify you. So something to think about. Again, what is in your hand? And so the journey of trying to experience and embrace what our spiritual gift is. I want to give you a few things to take away from this video with. When I was about 3, 4, 5 months old in the Lord, I was just a very young Christian. I was listening to a radio program on the spiritual gifts. And every day that he shared, he said at the end, he's going to tell us how to discover our gifts. And I was so excited because I was looking for a 5-step program. And finally, we got to the end of the services, and I listened very, very intently. And we got to the end. He said, this is what I want you to do. And my ears were perked up. I had my pen ready. I'm ready to take notes. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home in your closet, and I want you to pray. He said, I want you to go home and get on your knees before God in a closet, in a place of quietness and prayer, and surrender yourself to Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. I want to live with whatever gift you gave me. Start giving me a passion for that which you have gifted me with on the inside. And I thought, that's all? It's not bigger than that? But you know what? I began to do that, and God began to birth things in me. And so even the things like preaching, which I thought there is no way, but I had to start working on trying to say, oh, you know what, Lord? I do not see how I can do it. But if that's what you've called me to do, I will accept it through faith. And it was a very difficult journey. So another step. So the first one is ask. Just simply ask. And you need to be serious about it, but just ask. And then secondly is you need to accept what God says. Thirdly, and this is really, really important, await confirmation from those around you. Your church, the people who know you best, your pastoral team, your family, if you're married, your spouse is going to know you probably better than anybody. Await the confirmation. And then fourthly, and this is probably the most important one, is the development, the time for development. And this was the difficult one for me. And this is one that caught Moses up too. Moses felt the burden and thought, hey, I got the burden. There's an opportunity. I'm going to act. But that's not the way God works. You see, Jesus came. Jesus knew why he came. When he got ready to go to the cross, he said, this is why I came. But he was 33 years old when he died. 30 years of that was in preparation. 3 years was in ministry. The Bible tells us that Jesus learned things through those things which he suffered. And he was a son of God. So if Jesus suffered things to learn submission and learn how to walk with God, I've got a sneaky suspicion that Amos Raber is going to have to suffer some things as well. So Jesus waited 30 years before he did 3 years of ministry. Paul was in a long period. There are different ideas of how long he was in. Moses was in the Wilderness Seminary for 40 years. The Midian Wilderness Seminary for 40 years there before the time came. And so if the burden is there, and I have people tell me all the time, they say, Amos, God has given me a burden to preach. And I'm just praying that he'll open up doors, and I listen to these people talk, and they talk and talk and talk, and finally I say, how long has this been? And they say, oh, it's been at least 3 months. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you need to be prepared to wait and allow God to shape you and form you and make you into his own on the inside. Because if you go out prematurely, you will hurt people, just like Moses did and just like I did. I hurt people because I had a burden. I had a pain. God had not yet made my heart soft, and I hurt people. And so I'm gonna leave you all with that thought. But first, I want to pray for you. But I want to encourage you, get honest before God. Honesty works like a ceiling. If you're not willing to be honest, you will never grow past that. And so being honest before God, just transparent, honest, get into a closet and just get honest with God about the passions, about the burdens, about your fears, about your failures, and just give it all to Jesus and then bring it to him. And then prepare to accept, await the confirmation, and get ready for development time, because there's always, always a development time. And so God bless you. I would like to pray for you before we separate here. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. And Father, I pray you would bless all the ears, Lord, that have heard this word tonight, Lord. And as we shared here from Pennsylvania, and God, would you bless? I know that you never created anyone, Lord, and told them that you don't have a purpose for them. God, you have a purpose for everyone you ever created. And so, God, tonight I pray for that person that is discouraged or that is feeling hopeless or whatever the case is, that feel like they have tried over and over and they have failed too much to ever get it right. Lord, I pray that you would give them grace and strength right now, Lord. And Father, would you draw hearts? Would you minister to hearts? And Father, tonight, would your name be glorified through it all, that your church may be built up and that we may be fruit bearers for the kingdom. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right. Well, God bless you, and thank you for joining. And have a good night.